Hello, Reading. This is Dr. Orna Gill on the Dr. Orna Gill Show here on KCNR 96.5 FM, your talk radio. Today, we are talking on the Dr. Orna Gill Show about the roles of women in the pandemic. We want to talk about the increased roles of women as the matriarch during these times and how women's lives in COVID-19 pandemic have changed. And will they stay changed, or will we evolve and progress from this? How is this experience uniquely affecting us, and how can we help each other to continue doing well or doing better in this time of great stress and minimal personal time. So I want to introduce today myself, obviously Dr. Orna Gill, and we're going to have a bunch of guests because this is going to be a generational discussion. You know, women step up in times of crisis and we assume a role of responsibility. But what we're doing now is we're experiencing a disruption in social order. We can't visit one another, we can't socialize, we're segregated, isolated. And how do we manage our lives? We have to figure out how to persevere. The concept today is we're going to talk to multiple generations of women and see how this impacts how we're impacted by the virus experience specifically. My guests today are Mackenzie Chesnut, a 17-year-old young woman from Reading who will be giving the experience of youth. We have Kristen Mitchelson, who is a stay-at-home mom but former pediatric ICU transplant nurse. That's a mouthful. Who will be telling us about the experience of coming in new to Reading and raising children in a lockdown situation. We will also be speaking with Jen Gill, who is on lockdown and self sheltering in place in San Francisco with two very, very small children. Then we'll be speaking with Joyce, who is in her 80s, and will be expressing the experience from that point of view. We also have Beanie Bawa will be joining us at 10:40 a.m. Will be joining us a little later in the show to talk about her experience of sheltering in place with an elderly parent in the house, as well as two children. So there's a multiple exposures from her to her family from a frontline healthcare worker. So let's get started with the discussion. Please introduce yourself, Mackenzie, and tell us a little bit about it yourself, and tell us how your experience, your life has changed, practically speaking, during the pandemic.
Okay, my name is Mackenzie Chesnut. I'm a 17-year-old. I'm a junior at Foothill. I would say the main thing that's changed for me is I've just lost all structure because I can't go to school. I can't see the people that I saw every single day. So for the first few weeks, it was really, really hard for me because I was just on my phone in bed just for hours because I didn't know, I didn't have a routine because school was the only thing keeping me going. Like, even after school, I had my homework that I had to get done for the next day. Like, I had a structure. And I just have none of that, so I've really had to learn to, like, make a routine for myself because...
Have you done that?
Yeah.
What's your routine?
I force myself to wake up at least 9 every day. I know. I can't even imagine waking up earlier than that now, which is, that's going to be so rough going back to school. It's going to be really bad. And then I start my homework right away, and I get all my homework done before I can give myself free time. And I've cut back on my phone time a lot more because I just realized how much that was, it was just really bad for me. It was just making me so unproductive. So I've gotten a lot better with that. And I've been doing a lot more of like painting and just more creative stuff that I didn't have a lot of time to do during school, which is actually really nice. So, yeah.
How do you maintain connectivity with your friends, and how do you manage the stress or, you know, the challenges of being apart from everyone?
Me and my friend group are really close. I've had a very tight-knit group of friends since last year, so it's very hard not to see them every day. Like, I spend every day, even after school, with them, so that was really hard. We text every single day. We have a big group chat. We do Zoom calls. We've done car dates, I guess, where we go to our school's parking lot and we sit in the back of our trunks and we just talk for like 3 hours.
Wow.
So it's kind of sad, but yeah.
It sounds like you're accommodating very well, actually.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. We have, I wanted to, get into also the discussion with you, Kristen. Please introduce yourself and tell us how your life has changed, practically speaking, during the pandemic. And we'll also welcome Jen Gill, who's on the line, who has a very similar experience, and I want you guys to go into it. But first, let's start with you. And we'll get started with... We'll have a couple of people exchanging on what's going on because it's a really big deal with all the kids at home and that kind of stuff.
Yes, I'm Kristen Mitchelson, and I'm the proud mother of three children, a four-year-old girl, a seven-year-old boy, and a nine-year-old girl. And we are actually brand new to Reading. We had moved and had just been settling in for about 2 to 3 weeks before COVID hit and the shelter-in-place order took place. And prior to that, our life was pretty chaotic. My husband took a job here in Reading in October, and so I was managing the whole household in the Sacramento area and trying to sell a home and get transitioned here. And so by the time I got here, I was kind of coming off of all that, and then all of a sudden shelter in place hit, and basically life put the brakes on, and we kind of just all stopped in time for a bit, took a little time to process before I was able to kind of reformulate a plan to keep my kids on track.
That is, we're going to get into the details of how you do that. I wanted to introduce our caller. Her name is Jen Gill, and full disclosure, my sister-in-law, and a brilliant educator from what I understand. Welcome, Jen Gill.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you for coming on. Introduce yourself and tell us how your life has changed, practically speaking, during the pandemic, and how you see yourself differently. How has your role changed in the family unit? We're looking forward to it.
So my name is Jennifer Gill. I have two young children. My daughter just turned 1 year old, and I have a son who is three. And kind of ironically, right before the coronavirus and the shelter-in-place restrictions came along, I quit my job. I'd been working full-time this whole time, and I decided I wanted to take a short break before moving on to my next role. And so I quit, I think, like 2 weeks before the shelter-in-place restrictions came along. And my goal was to, you know, catch up on sleep and, you know, take a break and then look for my, you know, next job. But, you know, obviously that has completely changed now. I didn't know when I quit my job I was going to become a full-time, you know, homeschooling teacher.
Yeah.
And so have been spending a lot of time, you know, researching, you know, classes and things to do with my son. I think the hard thing with the really young children is you don't want to give them too much screen time. But the only way for them to really learn is through a lot of these digital platforms. And so, you know, his preschool has been offering some Zoom classes, so we've been doing that. And then on the side, I've also been researching and signing him up from other classes as well, and doing just things on teaching, you know, using books and toys and games and things like that.
Yeah, so your children are much smaller, and that definitely takes a lot of energy and makes a lot of demands. Kristen, you have children who are a little bit older than that, probably kind of stacked up a little from 4 to 9. Tell us how you developed an educational approach, or how you coping with it, how you're dealing with sheltering at home.
Well, initially, it was kind of up to me for the first couple of weeks while the school was trying to figure out their plan and what platforms they were going to use to educate the children and help us parents with materials. So, similarly, I was, you know, finding more digital platforms, signing up for various classes. A lot of celebrity authors and things like that were offering free classes on YouTube, whether it was, you know, reading or art. But at that point, about a week into it, my children's school gave all the parents a bunch of materials, and then we've integrated into the Zoom distance learning, which has gone really, really well. And the teachers are putting a lot of time and effort into helping us parents keep the kids engaged, and not just on track to where they were, but moving forward as well educationally, so they'll be prepared for their following school year.
That's excellent. I want to take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk more to the three of you about how we tolerate stress and how things are changing for us in our lives and in our roles. We'll be back. Stay with us. Welcome back, Reading. This is Dr. Orna Gill and the Dr. Orna Gill Show. We're talking about the impact of COVID-19 on women and our roles. We are stepping up to our the demands being made upon us. It's challenging for youth. It's challenging for women with children. And it's challenging for our mature listeners. So wanted to once again remind everyone that we're talking to Jen Gill. We're talking to Mackenzie Chesnut and Kristen Mitchelson about their respective roles and experiences in the COVID-19 pandemic. And I wanted to talk a little bit about some positive and negative experiences unique to this lifestyle that you may have. You want to start there, Mackenzie?
Sure. I'd say the most negative thing for me is my lack of motivation, mm-hmm. probably, again, because I talked about how I lost my routine, so I had to make up a new one. But also just, like, blending my home life and my school life, like, doing my homework or, like, doing all of my school in my room it's just so hard. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, for me and a lot of my friends, we have always been very motivated students, and I even find myself, like, getting very distracted or pushing off my work, which is really unlike me, which kind of makes me nervous about how I'm going to feel going into next year. Mm-hmm. I feel pretty prepared, but yeah. I hope it goes well with, I don't know, the amount that I've been learning. We'll see. But
yeah, that's a big question that we have, and that's one of the fears and the stressors that we face, is that lack of structure and motivation. How do you, Jen Gill and Kristen, how do you guys tell us about a negative or positive experience unique to this lifestyle?
Well, for me, I suppose if we're listing positives, the lack of the morning hustle, the ability to just sit there and savor the sweet moments and sweet conversations with my children on the couch rather than trying to slam together lunches and get them breakfast and out the door by 7. It's always been a chaotic part of the day that I've not looked forward to. Mm-hmm. So just having the memories and those moments together that we wouldn't have had otherwise is a very positive aspect to this.
I love that. What about you, Jen?
Yeah, I would say definitely it's all the extra time we have with the children. I think one really nice thing is both my husband and I, since we're working from home, we were able to witness and see our daughter take her very first steps. Wow. And I remember with our son, we were out of the house, like, working, and so we weren't able to witness his very first steps that he took all by himself. And so I remember being extremely sad about that. So definitely one positive is just being able to spend all this quality time with the children and then being able to capture all these really special moments with them.
Do you guys think that some of these positive experience should inform the way we reintegrate into opening society? Do you think any of these experiences should inform us in how we manage coming back? Maybe we want to hold on to some of these things. What do you think?
Well, I definitely think just the act of slowing down in general. I think our culture as Americans is, get as much done as possible, running the rat race, not really taking into account the lives of the people around us, whether it's a complete stranger or someone that we may not have spoken to in a while, and life has just kind of gotten the better of us. So just slowing down and appreciating the simple moments in life, for sure.
What about you, Jen?
I think what's really nice about this is that it's actually shown that many jobs can be remote. I know before when I was working, a lot of my coworkers, some of them really wanted to work remote, and they said, no, you couldn't. You have to come in the office every day. But now with this, obviously everyone's working from home, and I think it really shows that, like, you know, you can actually offer a lot of flexibility in terms of how people work. And even Twitter just recently announced that, you know, many of their employees, if they want to, they can just work from home forever if they wanted to and just stay as a remote employee.
That's very interesting. And how do you, in terms of productivity and self-motivation, and it's something that Mackenzie's struggling with, how do you speak to that when people are having to work from home? How do you manage that?
I think right now it's very tough to be productive being a parent, and if you're being a parent and working at the same time, because, you know, schools are closed, and so parents are, you know, have the burden of educating their children. But, you know, if we were able to slowly reopen society and children were allowed to go back to school, and, you know, people weren't worried and had nannies coming over, then I think parents would be able to, you know, be as productive as the non-parents and work just as well.
That's interesting. I wanted to touch base a little bit about Zoom and the new online kind of socializing and learning and working that we do. There's an article on Vox and also drew out from the New York Times that women on Zoom spend the first few minutes apologizing for how we look, first thing. So, my makeup, my under eye bags, my hair, my wrinkles, my outfit, my eyebrows, you know. What is the aesthetic offenses that we commit during COVID? Do you guys see yourselves doing that at all? Is that something that you experience? No. Mackenzie's like shaking her head.
I feel like I really haven't, this is so weird to say, but I really like my generation right now. I feel like we just are embracing it, and like we are so, like, we can relate so much to each other. Like, all of the Zoom classes I've done, especially for Spanish, which is like at 9:30 in the morning, we all have to drag ourselves out of bed. We're all just in bed, like in our pajamas. Like, we don't care. We're all going through it together.
Oh, so yeah. You don't have the apologies on Zoom. What about you, Kristen and Jen?
If we're being real here, like, today's the first day I've put on makeup in a while.
Yeah, same.
But, you know, I've actually kind of embraced the ability to not put on makeup and not have to feel the pressure to do that. And I think it's been really great for my skin lately. But I don't know. I suppose I've apologized a couple times, but it hasn't happened to me so much. But I have witnessed it in a few of my daughter's teachers, not from school, but other activities we're doing through Zoom, and, you know, apologizing for their long hair and things like that. And I think it's kind of nice to see where everyone's naturally going.
I agree. What about you, Jen? Do you have that experience, or have you seen women do that? Do you yourself do that?
No, not really. I mean, when I was working, I would work from home maybe once every 2 weeks or so. And I didn't really put any effort in terms of getting on call with you know, on Zoom calls. I think one nice benefit about working in tech is that, you know, people kind of just dress however they want. Yeah. Most people just wear, like, company T-shirts and jeans mm-hmm. or sweatpants, and, you know, people don't really bat an eye at that.
You can wear sweatpants to work? I shouldn't
speak. Oh, yeah. I mean, you can wear anything you want to wear. People don't really – a lot of these tech companies, like, a lot of people don't really care what you wear.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Unless you're meeting clients, then you're expected to dress up.
I see. I mean, a lot of people – well, I don't know if I want to keep pursuing this topic, but I do think that women feel the need to be attractive to be liked. And so there's a lot of pressure to keep up self-appearances. But, you know, it's you want to avoid looking tired, ill, or creepy. But, in fact, what's happening is that, you know, women look a lot different than men on camera, because men just don't have a haircut, right? Women don't have everything, all the trappings of femininity that we were kind of engaging in very heavily. Does that at all free up any time or energy for you guys? I see that no one here is having the same. Okay, that's okay. It's just something that I wanted to bring up because it's important to be careful about over-apologizing, you know? And that's great that in your generation we don't see that. Okay. So one more question I wanted to get into was we are going to be talking more about mental health, stress, anxiety, and loneliness. And we will also give you some good tips on where to go for that when we come back from our break. This is the Dr. Ornan Gill Show talking about women's experience in COVID. So... Welcome back, Reading. This is Dr. Orna Gill on the Dr. Orna Gill Show. We're here talking about the impact of women's roles in society and the impact of society's new policies on women in the COVID-19 pandemic. So we're here in the studio today with multiple generations and seeing how we are coping with it. We wanted to talk a little bit about the impact on the more mature audiences, and we're going to have a caller calling in a couple of minutes by the name of Joyce, who will talk to us about the experience of isolation during the mitigation policies that we're seeing. So I wanted to ask our guests in the studios today, how do you take care of yourself? How do you cope with stress? How do you cope with loneliness? How do you cope with anxiety or the pressure of having to self-motivate? Are there any special things that you do to keep yourself sane? Mackenzie, you want to start?
I've dealt with stress even during school, but now it's just a different kind because I'm kind of just having to teach myself everything, and that can be very stressful. But I find myself talking to my parents a lot more. I was definitely the type of person to just keep everything in because I would just kind of distract myself from my thoughts. I don't like being in my own head. That's like my least favorite thing. So now that I'm like trying to cut back on like my technology and stuff, I'm like forced to be in my thoughts, and I'm like, I should probably talk to someone about this. So, yeah, I feel like I've been expressing myself a lot more with my parents, and they give great advice. So,
that's really, nice. You yes. listen to your parents' advice?
Yes,
that's huge.
Goals.
Go ahead. What about you guys, Jen, Kristen? Please go ahead.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just getting breaks, and so we're really lucky that we have a nanny here, and so she's been helping out, taking care of the children, and so taking breaks, sleeping. Other things have been helpful with the isolation front is me and a group of my really close girlfriends from college, we try like once a week to do like a Zoom call together, and we all catch up. And so it's been nice, you know, starting to, you know, socialize again, even though it's just on Zoom.
Hmm. And what about you? How do you do it?
For me, the act of having to be at home isn't an overly stressful experience for me. I'm lucky in the fact that we just bought a property where we have 4 acres. And wow. So the kids have plenty of room to stretch, and we've bought baby chicks and baby goats. And so we have a lot going on for us in our lives outside of getting the schoolwork done and dance classes done and things like that. The thing that will ultimately always stress me out in the end is the fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
And needing a plan of action.
Yeah.
As a former ICU nurse, it was always, for me, you know, prepare for the worst, but always hope for the best.
Yes,
and
exactly.
I'm kind of carry that over into, you know, my everyday life. I always want a plan. And I think it probably drives my husband a little crazy, but if I am feeling overly stressed and, you know, without an outlet, I will speak to my husband, and he's always a good ear, as well as my extended family as well.
We have some resources for you guys, too. Just to mention the NAMI.org, which is NAMI.org, National Alliance on Mental Illness. Today is, May is Mental Health Month. So there's a lot of information online. There's also the ADAA, or the Anxiety Depression Association of America. We know that depression and anxiety are more common in women. There's also hormonal factors at play with PMS, perimenopause, postpartum depression. So we know that hormones do play a part of this. And it sounds like all of you have talked about talking as a way to relieve anxiety or stress. Are there any other activities that you like to do, like stretching, yoga, reading? I don't know. What do you guys usually cooking? Is there anything that you're learning?
I enjoy cooking and baking, probably a little too much, but that's something the kids and I have been doing together in the kitchen, is I've been teaching them how to bake now that I have the time to do that, and that's been helpful. Mm-hmm. Exercise is always a good outlet. Mm-hmm. I have a spin bike at home, a Peloton, and mm-hmm. when I'm really feeling the need, I can get on that and let some energy go.
So. That's awesome. What about you, Jen? How do you, what other ways do you, when you take a break, what do you do?
Sleeping is a very big one. And then, we're finally starting to like watch just like, you know, a couple like TV shows on Netflix. Oh. I haven't like been watching TV in a while. Yeah. And then the other one is exercise. We have, a Peloton treadmill, and it's been amazing. And so I've been starting to run again. So it's been nice.
That's amazing. We have on the line another caller by the name of Joyce, and she is a mature person in her, close to 80, I believe, and I would like to welcome you, Joyce, to the conversation. Please introduce yourself and tell us how your life has changed, practically speaking, during the pandemic.
My name is Joyce Jacobson. I've been living in Reading for about 15 years now. In retirement, well, semi-retirement, and actually, it really hasn't changed my life much. I mean, maybe other than going shopping and things like that, but I'm a pretty much stay-at-home gal and, mm-hmm. you know, hang out with my friends and things. Hmm.
Do you feel any extra fear surrounding the pandemic, given your risk factors?
No, not really.
That's awesome. Do you feel like you're having any kind of problematic isolation from your family or from your friends that causes you any anxiety or anything like that?
No, I stay pretty much connected with family and friends via social media and telephone conversations and stuff. I'm looking forward to when this is all over, but I have no problem staying at home either.
You are talking amongst women of many generations, and wanted to see if you could share some wisdom with us. Do you have any advice for us during this age of isolation and age of intent?
Well, yeah. Hopefully you're stocked up on wine.
Don't worry about that.
Other than that, you know, you just have to stay cool and calm and collected and just try and maintain some kind of lifestyle at home mm-hmm. and interface social media with friends and family.
Mm-hmm. That's very helpful. I think the wine thing is good, too. Absolutely. So I had a couple more questions. And any one of you can answer this. How do we women impact in the opening of society? Is there anything special we can contribute or control in terms of opening society with utilizing our positive and negative experiences to inform the way we open?
Well, I think the positivity is the most important thing.
Uh-huh.
If, you know, you're going to be a Debbie Downer all the time, it doesn't make any difference whether we're in this type of situation or just a regular everyday living.
Uh-huh.
Positiveness is the only way to be uh-huh. every day. I know you can't do it every day and you have your down days, but really I think if you stay positive, you'll be just fine.
Positive in a sense that there's going to be hope, that everything is going to go back to normal. Or a positive in a sense that this is, you make the best of where you are in the moment?
I think it's a little bit of both, actually,
mm-hmm.
because I really don't think everything will be like it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think that everything is going to change a great deal anything that you can imagine will change now. But as I say, if you look at it as a positive, and you're up for the change, and you're ready to move on, I think we'll be fine.
Let me ask each participant here today, how do you think things are going to change? What do you think is going to stay permanent from the changes that we've accommodated in this pandemic? What do you think is going to stay permanent? What do you wish would stay permanent for you and your experience? Why don't we start with Jen. Are you still there?
Yep, I'm still here.
Okay, good.
I think hope would will remain the same or learnings that we can take from this is I feel like it's actually interesting. I feel like there's a lot of the isolation piece, but I feel like I'm actually becoming even more connected with my friends.
Hmm.
I think as a mom you tend to not talk to your friends as much
mm-hmm.
or see your friends because you're so busy with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
But with the pandemic, me Zooming with a lot of my friends and texting them more, I feel like I'm actually becoming more in touch with my friends. And I think that's a great, great aspect of this. And I kind of hope that that kind of continues to stay. Because a lot of my friends, especially from college, don't live near me. And so, it's not like we can see each other in person easily.
Yeah.
And so we were even saying that, hey, these Zoom calls are great. We should continue doing this.
Even after the pandemic is over, you can't really... Yeah, that makes sense, actually. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, before we never even thought about doing Zoom calls. It's either we would, randomly text each other or, once every couple years see each other in person. But now we're doing these Zoom calls. We're hey, this is such a great idea. Great way for us to keep connected. We should just continue doing this even after, this coronavirus thing goes over.
That's amazing. So Zoom is here to stay. I love it. About you, Mackenzie? What do you think?
I think that I really learned about what I need to prioritize when I'm not consumed with schoolwork, because when I am in school, I do consume myself with schoolwork, and I try to get, volunteer hours in, and, I'm going to have to start doing, college applications over the summer and stuff. And I've kind of, figured out over quarantine, what I like to do, what makes me happy when I have free time. And I kind of realized that's something I need to, put into my school life. I've been trying to keep up more with, current events. And I feel, way more informed. I'm like, oh, I should probably do that, during school, too. And even just, I know, I've realized, when I need to give myself, mental breaks, because I realized how much in the first 2 weeks I was like, I really needed this break, because I was so consumed with school. So, yeah, I feel like I've kind of just figured myself out more, so.
What do you think, Kristen?
Well, I definitely agree with the whole Zoom aspect and seeing where that platform can take us even when life reopens, because it's already taken my family in some interesting directions. For instance, my children are all Irish dancers, and it's based out of
awesome.
Yeah, it's based out of Sacramento, but a commitment I made when I moved here was that I'd be driving to Sacramento on a weekly basis so they would be able to continue that. And now with Zoom, their progress that they're doing with their teacher through that platform, they're just going leaps and bounds. So it seems like a more manageable way for me to kind of balance out life. And that kind of ties into the aspect of not going back to life at full speed ahead, keeping kind of a little bit of a slower pace and keeping perspective on what's important. Because before this, I was spending about 2 to 3 hours a day in my car.
Oh, wow.
Taking the kids to various things and just getting snippets of their day.
Uh-huh.
And now I feel like wholeheartedly and whole part of their day. I'm seeing it, you know, from start to finish and everything in the middle, and it's been a lovely experience.
Wow. Have you always been a good role model to them, or do you ever break down a little?
Oh, I have my moments. I'd say most people describe me as pretty calm and collected, but behind the scenes I have my moments. I'm not perfect by any means, so when I get tired, I'll have a moment.
Well, speaking of which, we're going to take a quick moment, a quick break, and don't go anywhere, listeners. We're going to be right back on this very fascinating talk. Welcome back, Reading. This is Dr. Orna Gill. You're listening to the Dr. Orna Gill Show. Today we're talking about the impact on women in their roles in society and their experiences in the home during the COVID-19 pandemic, and how we are stepping up, how we can step up together, and what we foresee and participate in opening society as we start very carefully to do that. I have on the line, I'd like to welcome a very, very special guest, Mrs. Beanie Bawa. She is here on the line talking with us about her experiences in the COVID-19 pandemic. Beanie, please introduce yourself and tell us, how has your life changed, practically speaking, during the pandemic?
Hi, Orna. This is Mrs. Bawa. It has changed quite a bit. You know, everything seems to be changing with kids. You know, my daily routines. I used to go to gym, which has changed now. I can't go there anymore. Mm-hmm. Staying home, trying to work out at home, and then with the kids. I won't lie, when this pandemic started, it was very difficult for me to grasp all this information in my mind.
Yeah.
That how am I going to help my kids in this time?
Yeah.
You know, it was very frustrating, because going to school for kids for 6 hours is completely different, and then having them study at home is completely different.
Wow. How do you make them do that? How do you make them do that, you guys?
It's just, you know, I have to work around them. They never work around me. So I have to work around them. Okay, let's play this. I try to make it as, you know, as playful as I can with them.
Uh-huh.
So they don't feel bored. And at the same time, they're engaged with what they're doing.
That's like a big new thing, to be an educator with no education on how to be an educator.
Yes, you know, ever since I left school, it's been, 20, you know, I have two boys. One is in first grade and the other one is in fourth grade, actually. So, you know, when I completed these grades, it's been almost, 22, 23 years now? So it's completely changed. But I won't lie, you know, my kids go to grad school. It's been very helpful. The teachers have been on top of it. They've been trying to get in touch with me through the emails, Zoom. So, you know, we're pulling through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What kind of advice can you give us from your experience, from your standpoint? We're women here in multiple generations, and everyone seems to be saying that Zoom is here to stay. Do you have any good advice that you can give us during this period?
You know, I would just tell everybody, you know, as I was giving up to begin with, I would say just stay put, you know. Mm-hmm. There's always a light at the end of the tunnel, you know. Mm-hmm. So we have to think positive. Mm-hmm. What we have to think about our families, you know, our community, mm-hmm. that we all have to stick strong, you know, whatever the outcome would be, we will all pull it together. Just don't give up. That's what my thing is. Don't give up.
You sound like Joyce. Joyce, are you listening?
I am here, darling.
Yes, great. What do you think about that? You two sound very similar in the way that you're speaking.
Well, yes, I believe that, you know, I don't have children at home. I haven't had children at home for, 50 years. But I am so in awe of these moms and dads that have taken the challenge of educating their children, because it is a different time. We all came from a different time. And I will tell you, I have such a different view of teachers and administrators now than I have in the past. It's just good luck to all of them, and just that know that we appreciate you for all you do for us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. We absolutely do.
Yes.
So how do you self-care in this age? Do you care about, you know, a lot of people stop washing their hair, stop putting on makeup. Nobody doesn't. People wearing sweatpants and flip-flops all day.
Are you in my bedroom?
Let me tell you, there is called a cheat day. There's always a cheat day.
Yeah.
So when you're like, okay, forget about everything. This is about me now.
That's awesome. I love it.
And you eat everything that you want.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. And then when you go back to the real world, put your Spanx on.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I love it.
It is hilarious, yes. But you know, as much as I want my kids to go back to school, but I know I will miss these days. I'll cherish this time, you know, as much as I can. Mm-hmm. This is what I've got out of this. You know, cherish this. Enjoy your kids. This is the time when you can enjoy them the most. They're with you. They're there. So, you know, once they go, you know, they'll be in their own world once they're, you know, back to school and all that. So just enjoy them.
I appreciate it. And it sounds like, Mackenzie, you actually enjoying your parents for some bizarre reason as a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we have our moments. It's hard because school is kind of like my getaway from home.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been too bad, actually. I haven't had, like, any, like, outbursts or any big fights with them or anything. No, it hasn't been too bad.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
Great.
That is great. That's very rare. Yeah. Wonderful information. And so do you think that do any one of you have any thoughts on the way things may change socially, economically, and politically for women? Does anyone want to contribute to that in any way? Any thoughts on that?
You know, it will be definitely changing, you know. We will have to change our habits as we go out, you know, all the time, mm-hmm. as thinking about our community and ourselves for our families.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to follow the guidelines. We have to, in order to protect everybody else and yourself, mm-hmm. I think we have to follow the guide. So just, you know, like, if we are going out, just wear masks. Mm-hmm. If you have to wear gloves, wash your hands more often, have a hand sanitizer. I know we are short on all of these things for now,
mm-hmm.
but these things will have a big role in our life from moving forward.
Huh. You think it's a permanent change that's going to happen?
I think as a retired person that...
The same for you.
That it is... it's going to be financially, I don't think we could, because for myself, I'm on a fixed income.
Uh-huh.
So I think that that's going to backslide a bit,
uh-huh.
and it'll be a little harder to go out because things will go up because people have been, you know, out of work or they haven't been able to open up their business. Mm-hmm. So I think financially it might be a little rough on most retirees anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for somebody that has children or grandchildren, this is and especially if they're in the home, as the other gal said, it's really important that you get to spend this quality time with them.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And what about, what do you think about, do you think anything politically is going to change for women? Do you think that the increased roles at home as educators may be empowering and maybe we'll see more women on the political stage? Is that's a hope of mine. I don't know if anyone shares that same impression. What do you guys think?
I think in general we were already headed in that direction.
Oh, yeah.
But I think people have seen where things can go and are kind of getting an idea of what they want out of life. So maybe it would bring more women out after this experience.
I agree.
I think because of this, we're staying at home and watching television more, and especially now with you seeing President Trump on the television almost every day.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that people are more interested only because they have the time now to do that.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So then we're becoming more political because we're watching more of the political and medical news and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to wrap up the show by first of all thanking all my guests for your contributions, for your hard work, for everything that you have done today to inform your peers, our colleagues, our multi-generational solid women's groups that we here in Reading can help to support one another and learn from one another. And carry forward together in, as we all said here today, a positive attitude and a communication style that allows us to relieve stress, reach out to others for help, and enjoy one another on Zoom, I guess, without any Zoom apologies. You know? Thank you all very much for...
Thank you. Cheers.
Cheers to you.
Thank you for having us.
Very good.